So we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 12, reading down to verse number 16. I'm going to ask if you can, if you'll stand with me, we'll stand together for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read these verses responsively. That means I'll read the first verse, you join me in every other verse, and we'll read the last verse, which is verse 16, together as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Together in verse 16, ready? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we're going to bring your attention back now to verse 12. And we will mainly focus on verse 12. We'll look at the other verses in our text as well later, but really the main thrust will be verse 12, where he says, let no man despise thy youth, then he makes this statement, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, that conversation doesn't mean like we would, like in talking, but it means our whole behavior. It's a more inclusive word than we use it. In charity, basically love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So we're going to preach on this tonight. Be the right example. Be the right example. And let's pray. Father, I pray now that you'd bless here tonight at Grace Baptist Church in this particular service. Brother Choma had mentioned and talked about different things that you've done, and we're thankful for it, Lord. And you brought, we kind of went to a valley there for a while because of COVID, and then you brought us out and you brought new people, and you've given us, I think, a good spirit in our church. You've given us good folks, and you've been so good to us for these 15 and a half years, Lord, we've been around. But Lord, it's always because of you. It's not because of us. We're not worthy of it. We don't deserve it. We've not earned it. It's just the grace of God, unmerited favor from you. So Lord, we're thankful. We want to be faithful. We want to do what you called us to do. We want to be a good example. But beyond all that, Lord, it's just your grace and your kindness, and we thank you for it. Pray now that you bless our time here tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. And you may be seated. When people are confronted with their sin, they usually do a couple of different things. One is they claim religion. That's the first thing they want to do. If you talk to someone about going to heaven, they say, well, I go to such and such church. Well, that's not what we're not talking about church. We're talking about heaven. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Well, you know, I grew up a Presbyterian, or they'll claim some type of religion. It's like the woman at the well when Jesus said, talk to her about it. And she said, well, you know, we worship in this mountain, you worship in that mountain. And Jesus basically said, we're not talking about mountains, we're talking about heaven. Do you know Christ is your Savior? I'm kind of paraphrasing there in the book of John. And so that's one thing they do. The other thing they do, if they are born again, even if not born again, if they're confronted by their sin, they're brought face to face and maybe something in Scripture that their life is not lined up to, as a way to make excuse, they often would claim, here's a verse, I'll give it to you, here's a verse that's misused often. It's 1 Samuel 16, and in verse number 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Then watch this end of this verse. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And people say, well, you know, the Lord looks at my heart, the Lord knows, you know, maybe this isn't right, but the Lord sees my heart. Well, the Lord does see your heart, but that's not an excuse for sin from that verse. And they'll quote and really misapply that verse. So I'd say, first of all, it is true that God sees different. It's very true. The Bible says that. He says it very clearly in that verse. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. And so that's what the Bible says. It's very true that God sees different than men. And what he's saying is, I don't just see the appearance. I see the appearance and the heart. Where man only sees the appearance, I see both. Now let me just kind of full stop here for a moment. That's why when we talk about salvation, it's always a matter of the heart. Because salvation is not a matter of good behavior. Salvation is a matter of outward behavior or outward acts. It's really what's going on in your heart. Has there been a time you received Christ for yourself? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You realize you're a sinner. You realize Jesus died for your sins. Have you put in faith in Christ alone? What has happened in your heart? It's not just going through some outward, outside rituals. It's in your heart, have you received Christ as your Savior? Because God sees the heart. He doesn't just look at these rituals, He sees the heart. So it is true that God sees different than man, that God sees the heart. Now, He doesn't say He doesn't see the outward. He says that what He's implying is I see the outward and the inward. I see the appearance and the heart. Whereas we as people, as human beings, we only can see the outward. So it is true that God sees different, that God sees the heart. But it's also true, now watch, because I'm shifting here to where we're going tonight. It is also true that man does see the outward. I may not be able to see your heart, but I can see your outward. I can see how you're living. I can see what you're doing. I do see the outward. I don't see your heart. And I admit that. I really don't know if your heart's sincere, but all I can do is look at how you're living, what you're doing, and what you're saying. That's all I have to judge by. So I can only judge the outward because that's all I can see. Now, I'm going to give you two statements. They seem contradictory, but follow me. Probably in some sermon I've said both of these. Statement number one is this: do not worry about what other people think about you. You do what is right. Doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter what they say. All that matters is you do what's right. The second statement seems contradictory, which is, consider how you're living based on what other people think about you. Now, you say, Pastor, why? You can't do both. Oh, you can if you understand what I'm saying. When it comes to clear-cut teaching in the Bible, if the Bible says do it, you do it. If the Bible says don't do it, you don't do it. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. If all the world is going crazy, which is pretty much a true statement right now, if the whole world is going crazy and doing wicked, wild, very filthy, vile, sinful things, it doesn't matter. All that matters is what does the Bible say, and that's how we're supposed to live our life. It doesn't matter if they laugh at us, mock us, make fun of us, persecute us, behead us, none of that matters. What does the Bible say? Do that. But in other areas of life, where there's not clear biblical principle, and we're just outliving our life in front of others, we need to consider our example. What is our example? If I'm claiming to be a believer, what is my example? We had an opportunity to take Brother Zarella and his wife to Bob Evans, because from here, he's, as you know, he was here this morning in our service. He was in Lake Avenue Baptist in their service in the afternoon. They have a 3 o'clock service. In between, we went out to Bob Evans. Now, when I'm at Bob Evans and people are watching my behavior, I have to be thoughtful of it. If I'm there, if I was there cussing and saying vile, wicked things and people knew that I was a believer, wouldn't that be a tarnish upon the image of Christ? And so I got to be careful. So I need to live my life because people are watching me, especially as I'm trying to live out Christ. So these are not in conflict. They're actually complementary to each other. So I do what is right no matter what others are, how others are living. But I also do what is right to be a right example so that my light shines before them. Now, in essence, this is what Paul is saying in 1 Timothy chapter 4. When he talks about Paul to Timothy, so what Paul says to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. Now, before I get to application, let me back up for a moment because I want to give you one more thought about this. The reason he says that, the reason he gives this command in verse 12, because he gives him a warning earlier. So if you're in 1 Timothy 4 still, go back to the beginning of the chapter. Because this command that comes out in verse 12 happens after a warning he gives in verse number 1 and verse number 2. He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And he goes on to continue to talk about that. And so what Paul is saying, that this command in verse 12 comes from this warning in verses 1 and 2 and following. And what he's telling Timothy is, because he says that in the latter times some shall depart. So in these latter times, which is basically what we call the last days. Last days began at the ascension of Christ going forward. So we live in what we call the last days. So in these latter times or these last days, we need to be an example. That we live in such a way that we are a testimony for our Lord. Now, there's some specifics, though, we need to understand. And that's what we're going to get to in the message. What I just said is a general understanding. We're believers. We live in a lost world, and we need to be an example. But there's some specifics about this that maybe we don't grasp. So let's go back to verse 12 and give you three things tonight that's more specific about being the right example. Go back with me to verse 12. And notice what he says, "Let no man despise thy youth." But now watch what he says next. "But be thou an example of the believers." Now, I think there's a misunderstanding here because he's not. Now, it is true. OK, so I don't want to mislead you. It is true that we are supposed to so live that unbelievers are impacted by our life, our testimony. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works," and what? "And glorify your Father in heaven." So we are supposed to be living a certain lifestyle in a dark world. We're supposed to be a light unto them, pointing people to Jesus. That is true. But that's not what Paul was saying to Timothy here. That is a true statement, but that's not the focus of what he's telling Timothy. What he tells Timothy here in verse 12 is, "Be thou an example of the believers." So it is true that unbelievers are to see our good works. Now watch his statement, and then I'll explain it in here in a moment. But the main object of those works that he's talking about here in our text here, the main object of the who's seeing this is not unbelievers, but fellow believers. When he says, "Be an example of the believers," he's not saying to a lost world, "Be an example of what a believer is." That's not what he's saying. That statement, and I don't want to get in all the English grammar and all of that, but in essence, it's like this. Let me explain it this way. This is my pen. I can say this two different ways. This is the pen of Pastor White, or I could say this is Pastor White's pen. And that's what he's saying here. When he makes this statement, it's in the genitive if you understand cases. What he's saying here in verse 12, where he says, "Be thou an example of the believers," what it means is, because it's in that case, what it means is this: be a believer's example. In other words, you're an example to the believer. That's the thrust of what Paul is saying to Timothy. You be an example to your fellow believers. This is what he's saying. Yes, our light should be shining to a lost world, but we have a responsibility to our fellow believers to be an example to them, because they're watching us and we're supposed to be encouraging them by how I live my life. One of the reasons we come to church is to be encouraged by our fellow believers. If you go out into the world, most people in the world are probably, well, if they're talking about God, usually it's not in ways that we would prefer them talk about God. They're using God's name in ways that we don't agree with. And so you go out into the world and the Curtises, who are not here tonight, they had that big blue pickup truck out there. And they had went to somewhere, Virginia or somewhere out there, and they just got back. So they're here this morning. And he was telling me that they did not take their brand new blue pickup truck, because right before they left, someone had taken white spray paint and painted their brand new blue pickup. All over, windshield, down the side. It was a brand new truck, and someone during the night just came and spray painted it. Now that's not a very nice thing, is it? And so we live in a world where people think like that and act like that. But we're not supposed to be like that. And because we live in a world like that, wouldn't it be good to come to a place where we all are loving and caring and thoughtful of each other? I was certain, if I go out there and find out someone at church, while I'm preaching, says, "Oh, excuse me, I'm going to the bathroom," and you walk out and get a can of spray paint and start spraying my car, I'd be like, I don't know, really, are we on the same page here? But that's not how we think. I think we're concerned about each other. I think we want to encourage each other. We love each other. We're thoughtful about each other. And so this is the idea that we as believers are supposed to be an example to our fellow believers. So the first thing we understand is this is our example is focused, the thrust here of this verse, our example is focused on fellow believers. Let me show you some verses. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6, if you want to. I'll be turning kind of fast. Galatians chapter 6. Now, I am not denying
that we're supposed to be light unto a lost world. I completely agree. Plenty of verses about it. What I'm saying is, the thrust of this verse is not that. The thrust of this verse is an example to other believers. Now, Galatians 6, and go down to verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, believers, non-believers. But then he says this at the end, especially or specifically now unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, those who are believers. Do good unto all men, but especially, specifically, we need to be doing good to our fellow believers. That's the same idea. An example to them. Go with me to John 13. John 13. Look with me in verse 34. In John 13, in verse 34, now, if you know where we're at in the book of John, Jesus is now, he's at the end of his ministry. Everything's really focused now to those last couple of days, the unfair, unjust trial, his crucifixion, resurrection. So he's now kind of giving them some encouragement now towards the end of his ministry. And he says this in verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. That now he's talking to disciples, to believers, that you love one another. Now that's spoken in the context of those disciples loving each other. Again, love the world? Yeah, we're supposed to be loving the world, but there's a specific commands about believers loving believers. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, what is this? The love the believers have for fellow believers. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. What Jesus is saying, there's a specific example. As believers are loving believers and believers are dealing with believers, the world looks at it and says, there's something different about that. It's not like everyone else in the world. There's a love between those people. And it becomes a testimony for the Lord. Go with me to John 17. So the focus there, again, is believer to believer. John 17, look with me in verse 20. Now, are we concerned about the lost world? Yes, we preach on soul winning. We preach on evangelism. We support missionaries. But that doesn't, because we believe one, doesn't mean we can't believe the other, because they're both biblical. And there is a thrust in Scripture about believers loving believers, believers caring for believers, believers concerned about fellow believers, believers being an example to other believers. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they, now we're talking about believers here, they all may be one. That's talking about a unity, a concern for each other, being together there. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Now watch, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now that's a powerful verse. What Jesus is saying this, that the world questions the very coming of Jesus Christ, the purpose of Christ, the sacrificial death of Christ, because the world looks at us and says, it can't really be true. Because if they really believe that, would they really live that way towards each other? If believers really had the same Savior, would these believers be backstabbing, bad-mouthing, gossiping, hurting one another? Wouldn't they all kind of be working together for the same purpose? Even the world has enough sense to understand that. And so here's the thought. The thought is our example that Jesus is giving, talking about here in 1 Timothy 4, this example is focused on our fellow believers. We're concerned about them. It's, now watch this, believers doing good to believers is a testimony to this lost world. Now it is true, the world may not like the stands that we take. Just people in our church may not like the stands we take. I am 100% against abortion. One abortion is too many. Well, you know, isn't four better than five? Zero is better. That's what I focus on. Say, well, you know, it's the mother's choice. Okay. There is a living being inside of your womb. That being, if anyone gets a choice, should not be the living being that's about to be aborted. So let the child be born. Let your child grow up to be 18 and then say, do you want to be aborted? Okay, that would be, I guess, if you want to talk about choice. But the truth is, two living beings go into the abortion clinic. One comes out. The other doesn't. Alive. I believe abortion is murder. That is not a stand that all the world agrees with. They're wrong. The Bible's right. I'm 100% against homosexuality. God never created man to be with man, woman to be with woman. It's a sin. Doesn't matter. Well, you just didn't grow up that way. Well, that is true. I didn't grow up that way. But it doesn't matter how I grew up. What matters is what the Bible says. Romans 1 is clear about it. I'm against fornication. If you're not married to each other, you should not be sleeping with each other. It's sin. I know. That's like Mayberry. That's like Andy Griffith. Or it's like the Bible. Okay? And we could go on and on. Now, we can talk about the things that we believe that the world doesn't agree with. But most of the time, many of the times, the world at least says, well, that's what they believe. They may not believe it, but they say, well, that's what they believe. I mean, that's how they see the Bible. Well, it is what we believe. It's how we see the Bible. What the world, though, I don't think understands, what they laugh at, what they mock at, is when they what they see happening inside of a church among believers. The cheating one another. The feuding that goes on. The arguing that goes on. When someone doesn't get their way and they get mad and they jump in their car and they speed out of the parking lot and gravel flying everywhere because they didn't get their way. That's what they say. Really? That makes no sense at all. We understand your stand about things because that's how you see the Bible, but how would you treat one another that way? Why would a believer go to work among unbelievers and spend all of their time complaining about the people they go to church with? The world says that just makes no sense. And then on top of that, then you invite them to church. And they're like, nah, you already told me about those people. I really don't need that. I got plenty of drama without going to your church. So what I'm saying is that we need to be an example to our fellow believers. We need to be concerned about each other. We should tonight decide that the people of, the members of Grace Baptist Church are going to be a good example to the people of or the members of Grace Baptist Church. So our example, what he's talking about, is focused on our fellow believers. Let me show you the second thing. That was the main thrust of the message, but there's more that I want you to look at. Go back with me to verse 12. Let's talk a little bit more about what that example should be. In verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Now he's going to list some things about that example. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So here's the second thing I would bring your attention to. Our example that we're talking about, my example to you, your example to me. Okay, none of us have arrived. We're all on different levels because we're all growing. We're trying to be all that we're supposed to be in Christ. None of us has arrived. None of us are perfect. We're all got, shortcomings in our life. But the best we can, we're trying to live in such a way, not to impress one another, but to encourage one another. Not to say, hey, look at me, but hey, can I help you? Can I encourage you? There's some things I learned. Can I help you along the way? So this example we're talking about must include both the inward and the outward, because both are included there in our verse. Here's what I mean by the outward. He mentions three things. He mentions word. I think that means our talking, our conversation, our behavior, our charity, our love, our actual, and use of the word charity means the outgoing of that love, the giving of that love, the what you see because of that love. There should be clear examples. Now, I'm building what I just said. There should be clear examples of believers doing good to other believers. Again, not to impress. We're not doing good. I'm not going to say, hey, Larry, watch me. I'm going to give Dale Stein $2. Look at this. Hey, look at there. Man, don't you wish you were good as me? Hey, look at that. That's not why we're doing it. What we're doing is when someone's in need and we know they have a need, we don't need to do anything publicly. We can go to them privately and say, hey, I heard you're going through a tough time. I just want to be a blessing to you. Here, the Lord put upon my heart to give you $20. is an outward behavior. We're trying to be an example. Again, we're not trying to impress people. We're not trying to walk around and, hey, don't you wish you're like me? It has nothing to do with impressing people or pride or anything like that. It has to do with a heart that wants to help others, especially fellow believers, and we're trying to be an example to other believers. So we're not trying to impress, but to encourage. And maybe, if our example is there, maybe it would encourage others to do the same. I'd ask you this question tonight. Are you? Okay, here's what we do. Well, no one's giving me $20. Okay, that's not the way to look at it. Here's the way to look at it. Am I setting an example of doing good to others in this church? Well, no one does it. No. It's not about doing to me. Am I doing something for them? Love is very sacrificial. If in doubt, look at the cross. Love is always sacrificial. What am I doing outwardly to help encourage others? And hopefully that is going to be an encouragement for others to follow that example. So there's an outward example. There's also an inward example. It uses these words, spirit, faith, purity. Those are more inward type of behaviors. And so I tell you tonight, there should be clear examples of believers who have a sincere walk with God. I would hope this to be true, and I think this is true, and I hope this is true, that there's people who come to our church who just by their presence, just by their behavior, just by being around them, you know they have a walk with God. Now, when I get around someone like that, we'll use Brother Choma. Okay, I think highly of Brother Choma. We've known each other, 300 years. We've known each other for a long time, since either one of us were married in first year of Bible college. We've known each other. And so I think highly of Brother Choma. And when I'm around him and he talks about he's not like this. Hey, you know, I read my Bible. What about you? Hey, I pray. What about? No, okay, not like that. But when he talks about maybe something the Lord has shown him in the Word of God, or maybe a prayer that was answered, here's what it says in my heart. Man, I want that too. Man, I want God to show me something. Man, I want to answer to prayer. If he says, hey, man, I went down soul winning and so got... Okay, Brother Becker, one of our best soul winners in our church. When I hear about him winning someone to the Lord, I don't go like this. Lord, why him? I mean, I know him and you know him. Why him? Here's what I say. Why not me? Lord, I want to win someone. It encourages me. It makes me want to do more. And that's the power of the example that encourages us in our faith as well. So we want to have that spirit. We want to have that faith. We want to have that purity. So I ask you again, does our example of walking with God and being with God encourage other believers in our church to do the same? So our example must be both inward and outward. Give you the third thought. So I said it's mainly, at least in this verse, the main focus is the fellow believers. That example is going to be an inward example. It's going to be outward. Some things we do and some things we are as believers, hopefully to encourage others. Again, not to impress, not to boast, not to in any way try to put it upon us, but hopefully to do it in such a way that encourages others to follow. And then there's the third thing I see. And look with me in verse 13. Because this is kind of maybe where the rubber meets the road. Because in sermons like this, maybe I'll project myself on you. Maybe this is not how you are, but I'll project me on you. In sermons like this, it's easy to say, yes, I want to be an example. Yes, I want to do these things. Yes. But every time you think like that, you got to stop and realize there's going to be an effort that's going to have to be applied. I learned a long time ago this statement, if it was easy, everyone would do it. And the reason everyone's not doing it is because it's not easy. Look with me in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. This is right after he talked about being an example. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy of the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. At least eight things he outlines about what it would take to be the example he was supposed to be. So our example is focused on fellow believers. Our example must include both the inward and the outward. And thirdly is this, our example will require us to make an effort. If you have some high hopes of living your Christian life on a long-term basis, it's going to take some work, take some effort, take some sacrifice. There are times as a believer, here's what I mean by this. There are times as a believer, you will not do something that you want to do simply because you're concerned about the example you may be setting. You'll say, you know, I really want to do this, but I'm really not going to do this because I think some people may have a problem with that. And people go, well, I don't care what anyone thinks, but I do because I'm supposed to be an example. We're not talking about right and wrong here. We're not talking about when it comes to principles of God's Word. We already talked about it. When it's right to do, you do right. Don't worry about what anyone thinks or cares or says. But in areas where there is no clear biblical principle, it's a matter of choice, preference maybe, that I'm going to think, okay, I'll give you one. I'll give you a couple just so you can kind of say, well, that's kind of stupid. Okay, I agree, but it's somehow, in some ways, the way you're supposed to be thinking. If I go to the restaurant and order beer-battered fries, I really do not think that I'm drinking beer. Okay, I understand it's just a phrase. There's no alcohol content. No one ate a bunch of beer-battered fries. And, whoa, man, I'll take another serving of those things. They're pretty good there. Okay, that's not what happens. There's no alcoholic content. But I do know this. If I was around a young believer who struggles with something like that, they may kind of think cross about it. Is the pastor saying it's okay to drink beer? Okay, there's a world of difference between eating beer battered fries and going to the bar and drinking beer. There's a big difference in the two, but they may not see it. So I would avoid doing that. But I love beer battered fries, but I love being a good example more. So there's some things I may not do because I'm concerned about the example I'm setting. And vice versa, there's maybe some things I do because I'm concerned about being an example. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to my fellow believer. I don't want to be a discouragement to them. So let me give you a couple things because we're getting close to the end. There's two things I would say about this. First is this. If this concerns you, if this interests you, if you're thinking about, yeah, Pastor White, I really do want to be an example. I'm concerned about my fellow believers. I want to be an example for them. I want to be an encouragement to them. I'll give you two things about this. I'm talking about this effort. There's probably a whole lot more to be said, but I'm going to just give you two things about this effort. One is this. We need to make an effort to study what our example should be. Especially true maybe if you're a young person or maybe a young believer. When I was a young person / young believer, because I was a young believer, what I did is I watched older believers, how they lived their life. What kind of example were they? Now, my goal is to be like Jesus, obviously. But that's a big long, for where I'm at to where Jesus is, that's a huge step. But where they're at is not as huge. Maybe I can get closer to where they're at and that helps me get closer to Jesus. Like Paul said, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. I follow my pastor, I follow my spiritual leaders because I'm trying to follow Christ. Not because I'm really looking to them, but I'm looking to Christ and they're a good example that way. And so I studied the examples of others. How did they treat people? How did they act? How did they respond? What kind of words did they use? Did they fly off the handle about every little... So I made an effort to study what my example should be. Really, I spent a lot of time just studying their character and their behavior. Not trying to necessarily be like them, but using that example to help me be like Christ so I could be the example I should be. And then when you do that, here's the second thing you have to do. You have to make an effort then to compare your example to what it should be. So first, I look at their example. And then I have to do the hard thing. I have to look at my example and say, not so much. You know, maybe this is true for you. You know what my biggest hang-up? Please do not answer the question. Let me answer my own question on this one. I'm afraid what you might say. You know what one of my biggest hang-ups is? This thing right here. Having a sharp tongue, somewhat of a little bit of a quick wit, sarcastic, biting words that I think are funny. And so when someone says something, now I don't mean like teasing Vicki Gassler because she deserves it, so I don't feel bad about that. But tell her I said that way. But when I was in high school, I had some friends that I lost because they would say something and I would say something back to them, but in a very mean cutting way, because you ain't going to outdo me. I'll get you back. And I lost friends over it. And I said, you know, that's kind of stupid. If I just watch my mouth, I probably would not lose so many friends. So I started watching how others responded to things. And I said, that's the example. I looked at my example. I looked at their example. And I said, that's the right example. And so I began saying, okay, that's not how I'm going to talk to people. That's how I want to talk to people, because that lines up with Scripture better. So you look at their example, and then you got to look at your example and say, if my example doesn't line up with their example, and their example lines up with Scripture, I need to change my example. So what are we saying? Let's put it all together. For some, maybe tonight, for some, just understanding, okay, when I said to you a few moments ago now, and I said you have a responsibility to be an example to your fellow believers, there are believers who have never heard that before. They're like, really? I have a responsibility to my fellow believer? Yes, you do. You have a responsibility. You know the old statement, am I my brother's keeper? You know what the answer to that is? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Okay, by the way, that was said by a man who just killed his brother. It's not a good motto to have for life. So for some, just understanding that you have a responsibility in your example, for your example, could be a game changer. Here's what we like to say. Well, I do me and you do you. That may be what the world says, but that's not the way you're supposed to live. What we're supposed to say is, I live for Jesus, so you'll be more encouraged to live for Jesus. I don't just do me, I live for Jesus. And hopefully that's an encouragement to you to live for Jesus. So for some, maybe tonight, this whole understanding that you are to be an example to your fellow believers, maybe that's a game changer. If it is, then maybe tonight you need to say, Lord, I didn't know that. But Lord, I see it now. Be thou an example of believers. Okay, Lord, help me to do that. For some tonight, maybe this examples of believers, loving believers, as a testimony to this lost world, maybe that you didn't understand. And I'll just remind you, I said it a moment ago, I'll say it again. Godly love between believers is one of the most powerful witnesses to the lost. I've alluded to this. In fact, I flat out said it multiple times. You know, in a church setting, especially like our church, probably tonight as well, but especially on a Sunday morning when the more of the crowd is here, there are people who are gathered together who would not be gathered together for any other reason but his church. There's people who love sports. There's people who hate sports. There's people who's into cars. There's people like, a car is a car is a car is a car. There's people who are into guns. There's people like, don't really care. There's people who are into gardening, and there's people who say, why garden? Did you not hear about Walmart? They have frozen vegetables right there for you. There's all kinds of different people in our church. You know what brings us together? Because we're all looking to Christ. And our love for each other really stems from our love for Christ. And maybe you never comprehended that. Maybe you never were taught that. Maybe you never understood that. But I'm telling you tonight, one of the most powerful witnesses to this lost world is when there's godly love between fellow believers. Because only God can do that. There's people in this church, you would never be friends with each other if it wasn't for God. But God has touched your heart and knitted your hearts together. And then lastly, I guess I would say, for some, maybe just being an example is a game changer. For some, understanding our love between ourselves is this powerful witness to a lost world. And thirdly, I would say this. For some, maybe you knew all this. Maybe everything I said tonight, you're like, check, check, check. Yep, I've heard it. I've understood it. I believed it. You knew this. But you've allowed the afflictions of this life to distract you. You know, for some people, let me just go off script for a moment. For some people, what I say about loving in church and being kind, and you were in a church situation where that was exactly opposite. And when I talk about loving between people, you're like, nah. I was at a church once and I tried to love them and this is what they did to me. I'll come, but don't expect me to love anyone here. First of all, that's not right. Second of all, you're missing what you could have. And maybe you've let some affliction or some discouragement or someone else's unkindness. Maybe you try to love them and they were not loving back. Or maybe you try to encourage them and they were not encouraging. You let some affliction distract you, to rob you, to keep you from being that example. Can I tell you, that is Satan's plan. Do not let him win. So I'd say tonight to all of us, let all of us decide tonight to be an example to each of us, and thereby be a light to this dark world. And I'll say it one other way. If you are an example to your fellow believers, if I'm an example to my fellow believers outwardly and inwardly, if I'm loving my fellow believers, if I'm concerned about my fellow believers, now watch, we will be a light to this world. The world will notice that. They're like, well, that's weird. Huh. Those people are different. I mean, they talk nice to each other. There's families who don't even talk nice to each other. And there's really, they're kind of like strangers, except for church, but they're kind to each other. They share with each other. I mean, this guy has a, or this family has a garden, and they bring vegetables and share with people at church. And this family over here, they got some maybe abundance in another area, and they share with some people at the church. And look, they have something here, and they help them, and they encourage them, and they love them, and they say, "Wow, that's not like the world. Not even like my family. Maybe the Lord is real. Maybe He does impact lives." And one of the most powerful witnesses to this dark world is the love and the concern and the kindness from one believer to another. I think that's what Paul was getting at when he's talking to Timothy. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me?